This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Blacklist After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Blacklist After Show.
You thought we hijacked the show.
Oh, yes. Best song ever.
The great
ever.
Maverick.
Yes. Ever.
I disagree. Great song, though. I don't want ever.
Ever.
Welcome to the Blacklist AfterBuzz After Show. Welcome to the Blacklist AfterBuzz After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, as always, by Nando Velasquez.
Yeah, thank you very much. This is Berlin, not the city,
yes,
but the band.
Not the guy.
I don't know why the heck he's
see how it ties in?
It's the city, not the band. It's not the city, but the band. And Take
Berlin.
My Breath Away, which is what Red did.
To Lizzie's dad.
To Lizzie's dad. He took his breath away.
By covering his face with a pillow.
Yes, you're digging deep.
I got deep today.
He dug a little too deep on that one. That's a stretch.
But
we're also joined by Jill Sanfilippo.
Set up on you.
Nice to be here with you guys.
And believe it or not, we're also joined by Julia Carelli.
Believe it or not.
Yes. Believe it or not.
I believe it.
She's walking on air.
I'm always here.
All right.
Oh.
Thank you for joining us. We're in the home stretch here, guys. We're episode... We've got,
never thought she could feel so free.
Inside jokes. I said that inside. Just old jokes.
We are. We're in the home stretch here.
You're old.
We're continuing this from last night.
Yes.
Apparently,
we're in the home stretch here.
Yes,
we've got one episode to go. Right,
one episode.
Two episodes to go.
Oh,
Dos más.
Yep,
two episodes to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the whole. We're really starting to see things crumble a little bit, and the. You know, the questions are either going to be answered or it seems there's actually more questions asked. You know, this is one of those things where it's like some questions are answered, but then they're replaced by more questions.
Mm-hmm.
as to Red's true motives and Red's true reasons and what is Red actually doing and what is his interest in Lizzie and who is Berlin and what's Tom doing and what's Alan Alda doing and all that crap.
And why is Tom getting Ford commercials? Second week in a row.
Yeah, a whole different one this time.
A whole different
exactly.
one.
Exactly, a whole different one this time.
I skipped it. I didn't know it was different.
He did it.
Yeah, it's a totally different commercial. New commercial.
And he's doing the same thing.
Mustang, though.
Yeah. But
same, go further.
Like,
yeah.
All people in the Blacklist are evil, so or we're good. Or are
no,
they?
All people have secrets.
That's right.
And they're
maybe
all
the good
being...
people are good? Remember the evil people?
The good or bad, or bad or good.
There it is.
I get it from Ford's point of view. I mean, the only reason we'd stop to watch the commercials, we're like, oh, are we missing it? Are we, you know, and then you realize it's a commercial.
Well, there was no big car chase scene like there was last week. So it just it made a little less sense. But at the same time,
but
I'm really...
kept the momentum up from last week.
And I'm really curious to see if there are any clues in that commercial that we could ascertain... If the writers from the show actually had a hand in writing that script, then you would think they're actually revealing a little something. But if it's just the Ford ad campaign writing something and they thought it might be kind of cool and spy-like to say those things, then it's probably just a red herring.
Well, none of it works for me.
Well, they did it's the same company. They did it with John Slattery and Mad Men last season. I mean, you'd see John Slattery in a commercial. He'd stop for a second.
They did it 6 years ago with Kiefer Sutherland in 24, too. So
it's not exactly new. We're not breaking new ground here.
They also did it back in the Mad Men days in the 60s, too.
Well, okay. But Kiefer Sutherland had to drive his car a lot
yes.
in 24 to get from place to place.
Anyway, so we did have another commercial. A lot of questions being answered. We had our new Blacklister who seemed very high up. He actually seemed very...
Number 42.
Number 42, the Kingmaker.
Which 42 is the answer to life in the universe.
It is.
Yes, it is.
For those of you not familiar with The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
So I actually thought that might have been a very important number, considering how they were teasing this guy to be really important.
Well, here's my thing. I didn't think he was that important. I thought, well, it was interesting the way they built him up, and he was kind of cool initially, but I was really kind of disappointed ultimately with his whole shtick. It kind of like fell flat
completely,
for me.
I completely agree with you.
He came out really cool looking, but then I started putting it together. I'm like, wow, the Kingmaker... Does he do everything himself?
Well, first of all,
it feels like a guy of that caliber has like a team of people.
Listen,
if he's implanting,
you got a personal assistant.
Yes. I
got.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
People that work for me. I mean, we're not trying to knock down people, brail them up. We have infrastructure.
We do.
I don't know what the hell the deal is with the Kingmaker. I'm saying you have a secretary. I agree
with you. He's hands on everything,
right?
Like he's got to go to the guy himself. Like, if he's like really like from early on grooming these politicians and putting them in place, and then taking them down, and then putting more in order to have this big web of politicians. But at every turn, he's the guy. Like
I don't know.
On the
you
phone,
don't let some assistant make kings. Assistants don't make kings.
He's in the taxi cab.
All I'm saying is. You can have somebody at least answer your phones, you know, and maybe drive the cab. I think the cab.
Or he had a whole team that cleaned his hotel room.
Yes. Yeah, that's
he
true.
Did have a hotel cleaning room.
Yes,
that's
yeah,
true
because he was worried about bed bugs and
he was very serious about himself.
Did which was a character choice with his sniffles and
he had some stuff.
Well, it was funny because after that scene, after that scene in the hotel room, Red was describing the Kingmaker. Said anything he touches gets. I wish I had my notes. I left my notes at home. Gets very dirty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything he touches, which I thought was interesting,
including
which was exactly.
Including his nose.
Including his nose.
At least he kept his nose on.
Yes.
Unlike that
yes.
other Blackbuster. Yeah. Bobbitt, was that it?
Yes. What was his name?
That was unpleasant.
Was that Milton Bobbitt?
Yes, it was Milton Bobbitt.
Milton Bobbitt.
The Nosemaker.
He's the Nosemaker.
So, yeah, the Kingmaker, I feel like if he was at the hotel suite, like making a phone call, like he's in the cab. I don't know. You get it.
He didn't seem very important to Red's story. What was important was who hired him.
Right.
That's who, like, we needed to climb up that ladder and find out who is the one hiring him.
Right.
So
I didn't really enjoy the Blacklister. I like the promise of the Blacklister. He didn't really deliver
on that. I like the idea of him.
I like the idea that he didn't really deliver, but I did like getting into Red's past, like this whole idea of this super-duper Blacklister who's there to... sort of take out all of Red's interests in order to get to Red. I like the idea.
He's trying to cripple him financially.
Anything that touches Red in any single way, we're going to take it down and out in order to get to him, including taking out, like you said, like how he took out the Kingmaker, took out that guy at the top of the show. That was very cool. So we're getting into...
I think we just learned that it's not good to be a male prostitute in Prague. I just think there's nothing good to come of it.
That's a tough break for that guy.
That's rough, man. And nobody cared. They're like, hey,
nobody
he's dead.
Cared, yeah. There it is. Another hot take by Joe Sample.
In case you kids were curious.
Oh, boy.
So,
you're going to go into that business
right?
and do it in Prague.
Prague is not the place.
So we have the Kingmaker. We see the Kingmaker. We have we get some insight into Red's past and someone's after Red. We see that Lizzie is, as we predicted, as we all predicted, Julia did it first, we all predicted, Lizzie is trying to figure out what, you know, she opened the locker and saw the photos.
Love being right.
Yes, I was right too. But you're right.
Don't get used to it.
She was right first, though.
You're
we
right
all
first.
Agreed. We all agreed. But she definitely
jumped
came up with
on
that.
Top of my hot take.
Yes. And so we saw that whole thing develop very slowly. The only other thing we saw develop very slowly, but not so slowly, was you know, the whole wrestler and Lizzie. You know,
making sweet love.
Well,
eventually.
Maybe.
Eventually.
It's oh, there's no question.
It's in the cards.
It's in the cards.
No question.
You know, this is so funny. You know, it reminds me of our man Diego. Like, not to jump over to Homeland, but he had the same move in Homeland.
I know.
The same move where he's at the bachelor pad.
I know.
Minding his own business. Someone knocks at the door. He's swinging a beer and a t-shirt. Oh, come on in.
I didn't know.
Come on in, this is Brody. Yeah.
It was very much like Homeland.
It was the same thing. It was the exact same thing.
We need to drop in a Berlin right there. That's where the Berlin comes in.
Right?
Open
right.
the door.
Yeah.
Take my breath away. There you go.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, Diego and then, you know, Mike or wrestler or whatever we want to call him, he's got some moves.
Yeah.
And he's got the bachelor
pad. If it works.
He's always swinging the beer.
Broke.
Anyway, I thought that was very cool. All right, so I just wanted to get into this really quickly, the Kingmaker story. So the Kingmaker is there. One of his things he does, he first does that thing for Red. I mean, not for Red. But
absolutely not for Red.
To take out one of Red's guys.
The finance minister's guy.
Which was a very cool scene to see sort of the reaction to that. Red, you know, talking to the other gentleman about, you know, the guy swimming. I forget the guy's name.
Yeah.
That whole scene was very cool.
I thought both those opening scenes were great. I thought the guy waking up in the room not knowing where he was and all, I think he did a great job with that.
But yeah. That was very reminiscent of that other episode a while back.
The one when
the girl ends up being
on the plane?
Yeah, two people on the plane.
Well, I think sometimes there's a temptation for actors to kind of like draw out that moment, like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
He was great. He's like, oh, wait, no, wake up. This is, right. You know, he was right on it, which I think was much more realistic. Like,
absolutely.
If you wake up in confused place.
I do like that they're upping the stakes of this other sort of Red's world, this other sort of like super elite world that we don't know about and we'll ever touch. These gigantic mansions with these, you know, faceless, politicians and power players swimming and then coming out and drinking tea and then talking business and sunglasses. All that stuff I love. I loved all that stuff. We had a lot of that at the beginning of the show. We had some of that with the whole Alan Alda power meeting with the shadow Star Chamber shadow people.
Yeah.
And then we had that a little later on with Alan meeting with Red when Red sort of tells Alan off. I like this whole idea of there's this super, super crazy elevated world that we don't know about of these super rich, powerful people. Mm-hmm. I like that stuff. Anyway, so the Kingmaker, he goes out. His new mission is to evidently make, you know, help this up-and-coming, is he a congressman? Or is he a senator?
No, he's not that high yet.
State Assemblyman.
I'm sorry.
Patrick Chandler.
Tell the young Patrick Chandler rise, and he does this by having him have his car careen off a bridge and him supposedly saving his wife and kid. Of course, his wife doesn't make it, which is a horrible side effect of this whole thing. But, I don't know. What did you guys think of that whole situation, the notion of the Kingmaker's first move being so elaborate and that as a move to help people sort of, help him, help his political career ascend. I'm having trouble with the idea of, I feel like there's got to be an easier way to do this. I mean, I'm no Kingmaker. I just feel like there's got to be an easier way to do this. But
I'm no Kingmaker.
I don't know. Did you buy that, Joe?
I did. I actually kind of got into that a little bit. What I liked about it was how, how close to home Patrick was, at least is to us on this level. And you can kind of see how quickly you can elevate. I enjoyed that. I felt like the choices they made with the Kingmaker, giving him an English accent, for instance, I didn't care for it. I didn't care for him being English. I would have preferred, because the actor playing him is, he's so good and he's so subtle. And if he played him American, I think it would have made a lot more sense to go after an American politician. I think they're adding the foreign element, I think there was no payoff. But as far as taking a politician who's at the very beginning of his career and elevating him on a fast track that you can absolutely control the trajectory of, I think that made total sense to me.
Such a fast track because they've been working on this guy since 2007.
Between 2007 and 2014 to be running for an open Senate seat is a fast track. I mean, that's a huge
leap. The methodology, we're going to have you careen off a bridge.
Why not?
Save everyone.
Why not? That makes a hero. I think it made total sense to me.
Okay, fair enough.
Way to lose, though, because if you're a hero and you saved your family, you're a champion.
Good.
If you're a hero and your wife dies, you're a champion and a widower, and everybody loves a widower.
I do like the way that on the bridge, that conversation early on, that the Kingmaker knew all the exact dimensions and the exact rate of speed.
Yeah.
You go off this cliff, you hit the water at this, the pressure's this, you
right.
will not die. That was kind of a cool little touch. So that happens, but it's obvious that, you know, Red puts Lizzie up on this situation because obviously Red has his own agenda. He needs to find out, you know, what the Kingmaker knows. And what the Kingmaker's up to. So he puts him on this whole agenda here. Lizzie and Wrestler go and check the fact under Red's advice that are there tire tracks? You know, what's happening with this thing? They found the whole thing's fishy. They go and track down the driver, the van driver, who was paid to do this. And the Kingmaker got to him first, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he screwed up. The mission.
Right.
You know, he was supposed to stay, make a statement. But when he saw that there was a wife and a child, he got spooked. He felt awful, and he ran away.
He screwed it up good, man.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him either. You know, and then I thought that was a nice little part for that guy. I actually believe that guy, even though he died.
Well, for all the people that the Kingmaker has cleaning his hotel room, you'd think he would just have one of his assistants
just go down there and take care of business.
Yeah,
one of those guys could have driven the van. Why put an innocent man?
Why pay someone
guy?
Because you feel like this guy could also end up blowing the whole thing wide open if he says the wrong thing.
Well, maybe the story has to match too. Maybe it's just like when they run the background on the guy driving the van, they got to realize that this guy is. But they found him anyway. I don't know.
Linus Roach, right? Isn't that the guest star? Is it Linus? Linus? I don't remember how to pronounce his name.
You're talking about the Kingmaker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a terrific actor. I thought was it?
Linus.
It is Linus. Okay. I just felt like the English accent.
How many Linuses do you know?
I don't know. Well, you know Linus? It's one of those things where you could imagine there was another way to do it.
No, definitely Linus.
You mean Linus like Linus. Charlie Brown Linus?
Kiss my Charlie Linus, all you people.
Charlie Brown Linus. Linus is Blue Blanket.
Anyway, I think he's a terrific actor, and I really felt like
even though you made fun of his name.
I did not make fun of it. I felt adding the English accent really kind of took away from it, but
and the sniffles.
And the
sniffles. Really bothered me.
So we catch the Kingmaker. I mean, I just want to get through the Kingmaker part because you know we get through all that, and then they ultimately catch him because once he's making one, he's got to take one out, right?
Yep.
And they figure out who it is, and they catch him, and of course he has that really terrifying scene where he's got Lizzie, you know, choking her up, and Wrestler saves the day with a nice headshot. Go ahead.
Why are Wrestler and Lizzie always going out on these super intense, highly dangerous missions without any
FBI WTF?
Ever.
I hate this, like this.
Who's backup?
I hate the idea that there are simply no other FBI agents. We're the FBI, but we have very limited resources. There's only two of us.
And also, I know that there's
we're spending a lot of money on the super secret bunker, you know, that opens and closes, you understand.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that thing? Remember the tanker? I know that.
Yeah, I mean, that costs money. You can't have a bunch of agents when you're driving a tank around the Hudson Bay in a circle.
I know that Harold's put together this special force, task force now that they're all a part of, so I got to get that they're their own unit. I will take it that far.
But still, Liz is
a rookie, and she's a profiler. She's not a she's a field agent, but she's out in the field a lot with her gun drawn, doing a lot of tactical
work. With just one other guy.
For someone who's basically Clary Starling, who's a field, you know, who's a profiler.
It seems like we've gotten to this place kind of collectively on just about every show on TV where it's either 50,000 FBI agents or one or two. Right. And that's it. There's nothing in between. So apparently there's nothing between one agent lost or one agent doing something all by themselves or two agents, and then the entire rest of the FBI comes in a van. There's nothing in between. How come there are not three agents or four agents? It doesn't take that much effort to write something.
Backup,
right?
Local police.
Something.
Right. Well, so they get him and then,
rant over.
But guess what?
I joined your rant.
Thank you.
Dual rant.
What is that?
Guess what? It only took two of them because one got choked, one shot the guy in the back of the head. Boom.
Boom.
Game over. The two prevail. It only took two FBI agents to take down the Kingmaker. So that all worked out. But of course, that's bad news for Red because
that's the worst news for Red.
That's the guy that he needed to talk to.
And this is the first time I think that Red has actually given the FBI somebody to go after, and he hasn't gotten what he wanted out of the deal.
Right.
It's usually a side deal that he ends up getting some kind of information.
And he's visibly upset about it.
And he's incredibly upset by it.
That was an awesome scene, an awesome acting moment from our guy,
James
Spader.
Because he felt a little desperation when we go back and talk about the trouble he's in.
Top Gun actor.
But there's some desperation there, which is something we're used to seeing Red so calm and cool and five steps ahead of everyone, but he realizes, much like the Ansel Garrick situation, part two, and the aftermath of Ansel Garrick, that you know, someone's after him, and he really needs it. There's a concern there. We saw what happened after the Ansel Garrick thing. He went and he took care of everyone, cleaned house, and so I would imagine he's going to do the same thing once he can figure out what's going on. But the whole notion again that someone is so after Red that they would start that circle way wide, and anyone within 5,000 feet of this circle is getting taken out is pretty a scary thing. and the power that it takes for someone to be able to do that and know those things is very interesting. So Red finds this out. He takes it to the Count. I mean, he takes it to Alan, which we're not really sure exactly what the, you know, what Alan's Alan Alda, because what's his, 'cause the character is
Fitch. Alan Fitch.
Alan Fitch.
He called him Alan during the show, but we knew him as Fitch before that.
Yeah.
So he takes him to Fitch, who we predicted was the super blacklister, who maybe is not the super blacklister.
No, it's an interesting relationship, actually.
And
it,
yeah, but he seems to be pretty straight. Hmm. And he takes him to this, Fitch takes him to this council of super power people. Like, who are these people, Joe Flippo?
Thank you for that. I don't know who these people are. How the hell would
I
know?
I can't talk the whole time.
I'm getting. You're going to make
a good
effort.
Tell me something.
I think that they're either corporate or they're government or there's some combination therein, and they obviously have business interests before the United States government. That's all. That's Alda's character's purpose, right?
Yep.
To be the liaison in between.
So different nationalities.
Right, obviously, different people from all over the world.
Right.
Some of them are piped in via Skype, mm-hmm. looked like, which seemed dangerous to me. Hopefully it's a secure Skype, whatever that is.
I'm sure it is.
But I don't know. I mean, I think that's part of the mysteries. We're not supposed to know who they are. I guess it's more fun for us to wonder.
Well, it's more of an alliance, and we know that China's involved, because Red says that later. He says, oh, it's the Chinese. And one thing that I thought was interesting before that whole line about Berlin being a person and not a city, and I was going to use for prediction. I might still hold for it, but everybody was in that one room except for that one woman who was on a video screen.
So you
and
think
she
Berlin
was the one, and she had a German accent, and she was the one that was also asking, "What does this person know about Red? And what does this person know about us?" So I kind of felt like maybe this person had a little bit more of a, well, you know, it would make sense that someone in the alliance might be playing two sides.
Mm. She didn't seem, not for anything, I'm sure she's a lovely actress, but she didn't seem to me to be badass enough to be this person.
It just was really...
I would cast it much more interesting than that.
It was really odd that there was one person that was on a video conferencing, everyone else was in the room, and that one person was German. I just thought that was interesting.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So the Chinese guy could make it. I think that's farther away from D.C. than Berlin, the band, or the city.
So we see the council. So there's this evidence that Red has on not just Alan Alda, but the entire council.
Yes.
We're calling them the council, for lack of a better word, right?
So the alliance. They were referring to themselves as an alliance.
So and what would that be? Would that be energy? I mean, who would these people be? Because it's obviously somebody very, very powerful. They're obviously powerful, connected. But they're all private, right? They're all private. You would imagine they're private business people.
I don't think they're not all private people. I think because Alan Fitch has some government ties, like right.
But I mean, that's the new way to make money, though. If you can get yourself a government contract, but you the public takes the risk and you take all and you privatize the reward. I mean, that's our beautiful structure we're all dealing with right now.
Right.
The mm-hmm. most profitable companies in the world, with the exception of tech, are all in government contracts.
Yeah, of course.
And they're beautiful, no bid, cost plus. Merry Christmas, you know. So I mean, I wonder if that's what these guys are supposed to be.
Who knows?
The Halliburtons of the NBC TV world.
Very, very true. Very possible. I'm not gonna say anything bad about Halliburton except for the fact that they're terrible. But what is interesting is that, you know, what Red has this evidence, whatever this evidence may be, against the alliance, and so the evidence is so strong that he's alluded to it before, that if anything happens to him, the protocols will start and the evidence will be disseminated, and you guys can't afford that to happen. So he takes to the council, and the council seems to think that we'll take our chances.
Let the chips fall where they will.
Yeah, we should kill him and see what the evidence is. You know, that's strongly. What do you think of this whole council situation, Julia?
I don't know. I felt it was a poor move not to excuse me, not to. What's happening in my voice?
I don't know.
Poor move not to join forces with Red. He obviously knows more than they do. He understands this world better than they do. And, I mean, they lacked desperation to keep this evidence under wrap. But they don't seem to know whether he really has it or if it's a bluff.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, I think that's an important distinction. I mean, you know, if you got unlimited funds and you have all this power and control, I would imagine you get a little ballsier than the rest of us. Whereas, you know, we get threatened, and we go, okay, wait. These guys are like, really? What exactly do you have? I mean, you got to think that's, you know, eventually that's going to come up.
I feel like this relationship has been and this power struggle between Red and this alliance has been going on for so long. They must know something.
Well, they must know.
They would have.
Well, also, it's one of these things, too, that, like, they've, it's just like, they all know they've done a bunch of really, really, really bad ish, right? So, like, the thought that they know, God, I don't know which bad thing I did that they have the good done, but whatever it is, if Fred has it, it'll be really, really bad. And they all, and it ties them all, allegedly, but it's really interesting. What do you make of this whole alliance evidence storyline and thing?
I think it's interesting, just this relationship that Red has with Fitch, that he could actually walk in and talk to Fitch and have him go to this alliance. We kind of figured originally that if Fitch was not the major blacklister, that he was working for the major blacklister. And now we see there's this whole group of international powerful people that apparently are not on the blacklist. So it's a little confusing. What interests do they have? Do they have the interests of the public at heart? Or do they have their own personal interests? Are they criminals themselves? Or are they just, you know, that's what confuses me right now. Like, what is their purpose in all of this? And apparently Red doesn't seem to have a beef with them. He has information on them that could ruin them. So they have this little stalemate.
Who's in whose pocket? Is Red in their pocket or are they in his pocket?
Seems like a stalemate between the two of them.
Yeah.
That's what it seems more like. They don't want to ride on Red.
Have the power to capture him in that insane way with Anzo Garrick and torture him and go to those great lengths.
But also seems very much like Cold War, sort of mutually assured destruction, or mutually, what's it called?
Yeah, if one goes down, the other will go down with them. So there's a no-win scenario if either side reveals the other.
I'll tell you what I really like. I really like that we're having this discussion, that we're looking at these guys and we're acknowledging intellectually that they're probably somewhere in between government and private, or both. They're kind of living in both worlds. They're liminal, so to speak.
They're on private government.
Well, I mean, we're looking at this and we're going, okay, these guys are obviously, they're very powerful, they're very tied in, they're gray. So we're not saying that they're criminals or they're not criminals. They probably engage in criminal activity and they probably engage in legitimate business. And, you know, I think in getting just a sense of what this is, you know, you asked if they wake up with the interest of the public at heart, I would say no.
I would assume no also.
I would imagine they wake up with the interests of themselves and then see what we can get away with all day long.
It also depends what Red's interests are. We still don't know exactly what Red... We like to think Red is this, good guy doing bad things, but for the good of...
But ultimately, he's still given us only functionaries.
Mm-hmm. Well, then,
that's all the blacklist has ever been. It's never been anybody who's above these guys. We've never gone after anybody that's not a functionary. Every single person we've gone after has been someone who fulfills a function for somebody higher.
And to back it up, like, you know, back to the gray, I mean, this is Red, right? I mean, Red is certainly not a good guy or a bad guy. We know he is involved in illicit illegal activities. Mm-hmm. We know that whatever he can, legal or illegal, to sort of advance his own means, whatever they seem to be. Sometimes they're pleasure, sometimes they're money. But, I mean, we don't still know exactly what motivates Red to do what he does. Everything he does, even if it's earning money or killing someone, seems to be for something else. Like, I have to do this because if I don't do this, then this is going to happen. Or I need to get this, so therefore I'm going to get that. But it all seems connected. He doesn't seem like a guy who's motivated by anything. So he's a very definition of gray. It's character. Red Reddington is a gray character. He should be called Gray Reddington. But, I'm sorry. anyway, but so this council is equally gray. So yeah, that it's interesting. And it makes me feel like that Red, like, should be a part of this, part of the alliance. It feels like maybe he was once. Is he big enough to be a part of the alliance, or is he always worked for the alliance? It's this weird thing. I feel like that Red, whatever the alliance is doing, I feel like Red just fits right in with those guys. But maybe he's like out now.
If these guys are the center of the power brokers, I feel like he's off to the side a little bit, because he's not them. And they're obviously discussing him. It did not feel like they were discussing him as an equal. It felt like they were discussing him as something somewhat underneath.
Right.
A little bit lower. Mm-hmm. A little bit lower down the food chain. And I think it's interesting. And to me, it has that ring of truth. Like, not necessarily there's guys sitting in a star chamber discussing this kind of crap, but...
I believe that, by the way.
Do you?
Yes.
I believe that there are definitely groups of people that don't necessarily get together in suits and ties and have very serious discussions around a table, but
they probably barbecue every now and then.
Well, it's something. There is something that goes on, because there's
karaoke night.
This is far too complex a system to believe that we really do switch over government every 2 to 4 years and every 6 years only, and they really have anything to do with it. That's nonsense. They don't write the bills. The bills get written by the corporations that benefit from the bills. That's how it's been for the last 80 years. That's how it's going to continue to be. But, you know, and it's interesting to me that we're in a place, at least in entertainment, where we can honestly look at that.
All right.
We can say that this is happening. Hmm. And people aren't going, that's ridiculous. Right. People are going, yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
And, you know, I think that the public is obviously getting a little more mature that we are able to handle that in concept, mm-hmm. you know, because that is probably how things a lot of things work.
Well, so I agree. And so we see this confrontation between Fitch and Red at the end, where Fitch delivers the bad news of saying, like, look, buddy. And you know, Red was pissed. Like, I waited here for 30 minutes. I don't do that.
Yeah.
It's like, you're lucky I even came. It's like, kind of see these two titans kind of go head to head.
Yeah.
It's like, you're lucky I even came. They wanted to kill you. Like, the show, just me showing up here at all is a show of tremendous respect for you. So shut the F up, Red. And so, but bottom line is, there's no deal. But then Red kind of throws it back at him, like, okay, that's you do that what you want, do that what you will. But I'll tell you what, this person's going to hurt all of us, and when I figure what this person's doing, it's going to affect you. Now, was he saying I'm going to come after you guys, or is he saying that once I solve this, it's going to affect you guys? I don't understand what he's
maybe saying. He just doesn't feel like he has any ties to them now, or no allegiance to them, or any reason to protect them.
But what was his
if
message?
They won't protect him.
What was Red's message to Fitch?
I felt it's a small world, and what goes around comes around. There's going to be a time when you're going to need my help.
Well, was it a threat, or was it just kind of like, all right.
I think the threats were done because Fitch came back and said I couldn't sway them. There are people in the council, in the alliance, that said no, and it's his way of saying, well, you know what that means. That means, you know, you're burning a bridge here, and there's going to be a time, and you know it very well. You know I'm going to win this. First of all, I'm going to beat this guy, whoever is not the adversary, but this person who's messing with my house. And there'll be a time when you're going to need my help, and I am not going to give you that.
Huh.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's what
I
comes
think
down
it's,
to.
If you're not going to work with me, I will work against you.
Right.
I don't think he doesn't have a vendetta against these guys.
No,
he's just saying.
I don't think he has any allegiance to them anymore.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly. Politically speaking, he's like, you guys are on your own. I'm on my own. And you know I will handle my business. I was just looking for some support.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to get my stuff handled, but here was an opportunity for us to mend some fences and to work together, and you guys blew it.
He's going to handle some business, all right.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the cool? I mean, so we'll see what who comes after Red, how he defends himself, what he does, if he's proactive about it, if he just sits back and let it happen. I like the idea. This is setting up for this big showdown for my super blacklister that's coming in the plane. The preview.
He's driving the black plane.
He's driving the black plane himself.
That's how he does it.
He's mashing
rolling
out. Skirt, skirt. In the black plane. He's about to... Blacklister number one. I'm landing. Here I am. So we'll see what that is next week. But in the meantime, we also have developing this whole thing with Lizzie in Red, where, you know, Lizzie is through the advice of Tom, of all people, checking up on Red and sort of his motivations. Surely putting the thing together.
I wish I had more empathy for Liz. I really do. I don't know why... I don't have any empathy for her. I don't quite understand what, and maybe this is just me, but I don't empathize for her at all.
Right.
I don't know why. But intellectually, when I break it all out, I'm like, okay, you just found out your husband of 2 years, how long you've been with him, was total BS. He's gone.
Yep.
Dad has been killed by your new BFF. New BFF has all this information about you that doesn't make any sense. He's been manipulating your career, basically holding you hostage, forcing you and your entire unit to do all this stuff, one way or the other. You like it or don't like it, doesn't matter. You're stuck with it. And all this is, her whole world has come crumbling down. There's literally nowhere for her to go, and I don't care. It's so bizarre. But you know, then of course, when she goes over to Diego's house, I mean, that makes sense. You know, but I don't know. She's had her everything taken away from her, and I want. Do you guys empathize? What's the?
To be honest, no, not really. I agree with you there.
Isn't that bizarre?
I know Julia does.
Never have, never will.
Isn't that funny?
Never have.
I think
never
that's
will.
Funny. That's an interesting thing. Is that the four of us don't empathize with the lead character of the show? I don't know why that is.
I've never really understood her motivations and the choices that she's made.
When it comes to like being pissed at Red or
all of
or like jumping out of the car, going into
when it comes to her career moves, her personal moves, and everything in between, I don't agree with her choices.
And I mean, even toward the end, like, oh, I'm done with you. It's like we've heard
that
before.
That's exactly what I said.
Oh,
like
before, you're a monster. Yeah, yeah, for the third time this season, he's
get
a monster.
I get it.
Next week,
okay.
You make up with him again.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like you know.
It is a little bit hollow.
It is interesting, and I don't know if it's something in the structure of the show, if it's something in the writing, or if it's something in the acting, or this is a combination of the three, or maybe there's other things that I haven't included. But there is something going on with this show where I do not empathize with with the lead character who should, by any and all, by any metric, she should be drawing my empathy.
Well, so we watch this person who you don't empathize with get closer and closer to the truth. We, you know, we're going through the pictures. We make sure the pictures aren't doctored. Then we have to go check the footage, and we see that Reagan went in, but then the times don't match up. So there's some reprieve there, but then we later find out the times do match up, and we have that sweet confrontation at the end. But not before, I do want to mention, I did love that bit where Lizzie visits Red, and he's doing the cannabis situation.
Stone Dembe?
Dembe with
Stone Dembe.
My favorite thing.
He was so stoned.
Stone Dembe with a carton of ice cream.
You relate to Dembe on that, right?
You know what I liked? I'm like, as an actor, wouldn't it be great? Like, Dembe shows up, and he's like, what's the plan today? Sit here, eat ice cream.
Eat ice cream.
All day? That's it. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. That is a paycheck, I mean, he's well earned.
It's a rough day, man.
He's studying that. Like he had the ice cream under surveillance.
Oh,
like,
it was great. Studying, just checking it,
looking at it.
Oh, that was hysterical. Actually,
that was really, I love that.
I'd offer you an edible, but we have stuff
to do. It was utterly. All right, so moving Stone past Stone Dembe, which was really awesome.
Dembe gets better and better every. He might be my favorite.
Yeah, hashtag Stone Dembe.
I love me some Dembe.
Web series of Dembe.
Stone Dembe.
Yes, Dembe.
We already said this. What's just Dembe and Mr. Kaplan?
And they just walk. Do they go around trying things? Is that the deal? Is it like Bizarre Foods America, except that they go and just try out other stuff?
Well, yeah, Dembe does a bunch of stuff, and Kaplan cleans it up.
And she does. And he was never here.
Exactly. It's never happened. I was never here. So we have the confrontation with Lizzie and Red. And I don't know, how did this play for you, Julia?
I love me the Spader.
Yep.
He was awesome.
Because he was kind of like, look, in that moment, that confrontation, he just told her straight up, yeah, this is what happened. It was kind of, yeah.
Well, it goes along with the thing that he has never, ever lied to her.
Right.
He's not her father.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
He doesn't lie to her. He point blank told her, I am not your father, when she asked.
Okay. And yes,
and
take everything Red says at face value.
Everything he says to her has been the truth thus far. Mm-hmm. Maybe, like, he
says, I'm not your father. He said, like, it's,
so is Darth Vader.
And, like,
Darth
Vader never lied to her.
We just had this conversation, like,
I know,
like,
I know, I know,
ten
I know.
10 weeks ago about
I stand, well, I just say I stand for
the spy, the husband spy guy.
Tom.
About Tom. When you guys like, Tom, I'm like, he's never lied. He said, Tom, watch out for your husband.
Okay.
He's right.
Let me ask you this. Go ahead, please.
No, please, please. Oh, no. By all means.
Please, Joe.
I got nothing. Please.
I can't wait.
Oh, it's not good. Whatever it was not it's not worth being hit. I don't want to get hit.
Go.
I didn't do nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
All right.
Really nothing.
So,
Well, okay. Well, he hasn't lied to her yet, like I was saying, but this was, like, the most painful thing he could possibly say to her, and he still did it.
He did it?
Here's my frustration.
Oh, boy.
This is a structural problem, because we cannot let the cat out of the bag, so we have scenes that don't make any sense.
Like?
Like leaving without any answers over and over again.
Who?
Lizzie. Right. Why is Lizzie walking out the door without any answers? Because we have a structural problem in the show that we need to drag this secret out. So instead of finding a more interesting way to drag it out.
Red has all the answers. She knows Red has the answers.
So we keep having the same GD scene over and over again. Are you? I didn't. I wouldn't. I never lied. And here's some more little half-truth. Here's some more half-truth. And I'm going to storm off. And we go, F you. I don't care anymore about you because you've stormed off that way three effing times. You're an idiot. So then the structural issue in the show is, let the goddamn secret out so that we can stop making the lead character unlovable because she keeps doing the same crap in a circle.
Wow.
That's my opinion.
Wow. Nando?
I was not as locked into that until I asked all four of us if we had any empathy for Liz, and all four of us said no.
Zero.
Sure.
So if all four of us have lost empathy for the lead character, something in the structure has screwed up.
I never had it.
Interesting. Yes. I do agree in the point that we need to get some more answers. Joe, Flippo, and I need to be right. So just tell us already. Just tell us already that they're related and that he's the father. And then let's move forward. And let's move forward from this point on, knowing that the both of us are right.
That's the only way to do it.
That's the only way to do
this. That's the only fair way for this to go.
And where the hell's Kevin Bacon in all this? I just want to know.
Funny Games. Funny Games is not a good movie.
Talk about that show?
Thank you. That's a callback from our season finale the following, which is up if you care about that.
Okay.
So, okay, so the entire payoff of what seems to be the payoff of the whole show, which teased the last episode, mm-hmm. which is a big payoff, which is Lizzie finding out that Red killed her father, which is a gigantic payoff. None of us in this room thought that was the moment it paid off to be, and we none of us cared. It had no emotional stakes for us, mm-hmm. right?
No.
Okay.
But great. I could see the emotional stakes for Red, and he delivered the heck out of that scene.
Great, I agree. Is this an acting problem? Or is this a character problem?
I think it's a combination. I think, it's, like I said, I think it's structural, and I mean, because like I said, you've structured the same scene over and over again, and you've given so you make a character essentially into a whiny repeater, which is no good. There's nowhere for that person to go. That's very difficult, and you know, also there's something missing because there's a like I said, we intellectually we should really 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 be feeling for Liz, and we're not.
Okay.
I don't know why. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's just us. I don't know. If you guys want to hit us up on YouTube, let us know.
Yeah.
Are Please. You guys feeling, and it may just be that the four idiots in this room, we may not be feeling for, but the rest of the universe might be.
Speaking of which, we want to thank you all for listening to us and downloading us on iTunes, as you often, as you've done. You know, it's great because rating us on iTunes helps us a lot because it helps other people find us. It helps people know about the show. We appreciate all your loyal support. And rate us, and you can even give us fives.
Because we love fives.
Yes. And also, and thanks for on YouTube. I mean, your YouTube community is very active and always has a lot to say, and so we really appreciate that as well. So thank you for joining us on YouTube. Hello. Thank you for commenting on YouTube. Thank you for checking us out on Twitter, and thank you for downloading us on iTunes, and please continue to do so. The only thing we have left to talk about is Lizzie and Wrestler. Which finally happened. I mean, it's three scenes, but it happened.
Bum, bum, it did finally bum. Happen.
Well, I mean, she opened the door.
he opened the door.
He opened the door, but he seems still pretty stern and serious. Like he wants to chat. Like he thinks she wants to chat. I don't think they're doing it yet.
Well, probably not tonight. Maybe they are, though.
This is all just foreplay.
It's all just foreplay.
I think she wakes up on the
she
couch.
She had nowhere to go.
I think she wakes up on the couch.
I think so, too.
Or maybe he wakes up on the couch.
I think tonight is the night.
Or
maybe she puts the moves on him and he stops it.
He does one of those. Ooh, fragile. The noble guy. We love the noble guy.
Yes, we do love a noble guy.
This is the time. I'm too raw. You're too raw. We can't possibly.
Oh, my God.
We're both too raw.
We have to. This is the
That's
time.
My favorite.
Joe, you seem a little familiar with this speech.
Is that your first time?
Yeah.
It sounds like you used that
Two
line before.
Two of us
before.
Have been through so much, so quickly.
Oh, Joe.
Yeah.
Maybe
you
tomorrow?
You can't even look at Joe.
Yeah, I'm in. He's got me. Tomorrow, maybe?
Maybe.
That's
a nice little tag.
I might not be as raw tomorrow.
All right. Well, just let me know. all right. So... I think that's it. So, do we have any news and gossip? Let's get some shout-outs, Nando.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Sure, let's get some shout-outs. Thanks for setting it up for me.
No problem.
I'll just knock it down. Okay, so Holistic Health and Living.
Yes.
By the way, Holistic Health and Living is mentioning that the commercials that we've been talking about the past 2 weeks with Tom Keene are not on Hulu. I haven't been watching on Hulu, so I guess they're definitely not on Hulu. If anyone knows,
Holistic
maybe...
Holistic Health and Living is missing out.
He's missing out on the commercials. So I don't know if... I would say, and I haven't checked out for myself, but maybe Google Tom Keene commercial, Blacklist, Ford commercial, maybe even Ford put them up in some promotion. So that would be the only way I could think of if we discover it.
It's on the Mustang. Yeah,
on
Mustang6.com. That's a Mustang form anyway. You can find it online.
Yeah, you can find it online. So you can definitely find the commercials online. Sweet Pea 000433. Life is Short 214. Melina Torres, Baby Girl 1920.
Baby Girl.
Danette Stone King. Mirima Gabby Tropoja.
Who?
Tropoja. TROPOJA. I think I'm saying that one right.
Okay.
I think I'm saying that one right.
Sorry.
All right. Umar. There's other ones I'll mess up, like this one. Umar Sorias.
Okay.
Sorias.
We'll take it.
I already said her. Jamie Norwood, I think I said. Super October 71. Ashley Kearney. Tasha B. Lucia Dalbon. Cedric Farmer II. William Francis Collette. Doris Maynard and City Driver. I believe I got them all there. I don't have iTunes up. If you have iTunes.
Do we get a Papa Giorgio 70? Do we speak to
him? I don't think we've mentioned him.
All right, and then Papa EXO.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one's from March. That one's from
and
March.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. So thank you very much, guys. We appreciate that.
Well, let's jump into some predictions.
And now.
your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Julia, predict me something, hotshot.
Okay, I predict that the guy coming on the plane is not number one on the blacklist.
Hey.
I don't think he's number one. Hey. I don't. I think he's up there, but well, I don't think
considering,
he's
I think there's
one.
Been news saying that number one isn't going to happen this season.
Oh,
I think
is
that,
there?
Yeah, I think that's been said already.
Oh.
On
look
somewhere.
What he just did to your prediction.
Wow. Thanks,
boom.
Nando.
Well, I'm just trying to debunk your prediction before you do it.
Just threw
give
it down
you another chance.
Step on it.
Are you feeling pretty bad that I was so right this week and you're going to be so disappointed? Thank you. And you're about to be so
oh, I think he was. I think he was just late on that cue. I think it was when I did it.
Yeah,
I think he was late on that cue.
I'll come back to you for a new prediction. Joe, what's your prediction?
I think that Spader and the Alliance are going to eventually, at the end of this season, have a little tete-a-tete where they're both going to be kind of like back to start, but we don't trust each other anymore. I think, obviously, the blacklister that's coming in on the plane, the guy driving the black plane.
Is there a prediction in there?
Would you let me finish? I like the diarrhea prediction. I don't know. I mean, I've said before that I think he's her father, and I don't know what else to do. I mean, if it's a TV show, we're going to get to the end of it, and Red, we're going to hit reset. So, you know.
I got nothing. Flip was there, but can you...
Flip-O's a little raw right now.
I got to check the raw.
Don't touch him too raw.
I got to check the tape. I believe that Flip-O talked for 90 seconds with no prediction. That's hot.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
I guess that's
just like
one.
A politician, 90 seconds without anything. I'm going to say that whoever this guy flying in is, Red's going to have to work with Tom.
Oh, that's a prediction.
Yeah, Red's going to end up having to work with Tom. To oust whoever this guy is, so
drive a red
or
Mustang
gal
up
is,
into that,
and they'll probably drive a red Mustang
right
to save
up into
the
that
day.
Yes, totally.
So. I say that Red. I mean, Lindsay will have to work with Tom, which would be worse.
Oh, that's
to
good.
To save Red. Julia, where can we find you?
Find me on Twitter and on Instagram with my name, Julia Carely, JULIACEARLEY. And then here for, what following's over? Hannibal.
Yeah, Hannibal.
Yeah, that's the boys.
That's good. Joe?
That's good. The lithium finally kicked in. It just hit him right at the end.
Good.
You can find me on the Twitters at Joe Flippo, JOEFLIPO, and my website is josephsanflippo.com. And you can find me here with Braz and Nando doing Mad Men and Bates Motel, and with the three of us doing Hannibal.
Okay, yes. Awesome. I'm not doing Mad Men, but thank you for that.
That makes me a liar.
I know I look like Matt Lieberman a little bit, probably. You can find me at Twitter at Nando Vell, NANDOVEL, on the shows that these guys have mentioned, as well as on Orphan Black with Matt Lieberman, who does Mad Men with you guys, and 24 starting next Monday, which I'm really excited about. 24 Woo! Live Another Day, yeah.
Sundown, where can we find you? On Instagram and Twitter at Joe K. Braswell, also doing Mad Men and Bates Motel and Hannibal. You guys.
Mm-hmm. Wish we could go out with the Danger
Sundown
Zone.
Sundown.
So much.
From Top Gun, the Black Guys Sundown. Thank you so much for joining us on Blacklist. We'll see you next week. Two episodes left.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.